I just handed these out. So these are the 40-day campaign. Did everybody get one of these? Okay, I want, if you, we have plenty, we should have plenty of these. And so, you know, the official start is next week, next Monday, but you're more than welcome to start jumping into the Gospel of John. And there's a little bookmark here, and there's some, you know, kind of introductory thoughts about some of the big themes through the book. And I'm really excited about this, and it's going to be really good. Awesome. So if you have your Bible, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. And what we're doing in this 40-day campaign and what we're doing regarding the small groups, we're basically going to be utilizing a really, really simple Bible study method called the Discovery Bible Study Method. Right in the middle of your booklet, you can see the Discovery Bible Study Method. And so it's super simple. This is being used actually all over the world, and it's really big in missions. A lot of missionaries utilize this approach to have Bible studies, but it really has kind of caught fire all over the world, and God has used this super simple method. And it's basically you read a passage of Scripture, and you ask three very simple questions. Number one, what does this passage say about God? We just read a passage. What is this saying about God? Or about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Okay, what does this say about God? Number two, what does this passage say about people? Or about humanity in general? Or about me in particular? What does it say about people, this passage? And the last one is, how should I respond? Okay, in light of this, what should I do? Should I believe something? Should I behave differently? Should I believe something differently? Should I think differently? You know, there's all kinds of responses that we should have when we read the Bible. And so, simple approach. What does the passage say about God? What does it say about me? And how should I respond? And so, again, it's going to be really... I think it's going to be really life-giving and invigorating going through the Gospel of John together. The Gospel of John is like an amazing, amazing part of the Bible, okay? All of the Bible's good, but this is like really good. This is like really, really significant. Many times when I talk to someone who's either a new Christian or someone who's not a Christian, but kind of like, I don't know, I've never read the Bible, where should I start? A lot of people read the Bible, they'll start in Genesis, and by Leviticus, they're like pooped out, you know what I mean? They're done. I say, well, don't start there, start in the Gospel of John. And so it's really going to be good. I just have a lot of anticipation here as we go through this study. So let's do this today. Today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and we're going to just utilize this Bible study method that's how my sermon's going to be today, okay, utilizing this really simple Bible study method. What does this passage say about God? What does it say about me? And how should I respond? So let's start, if you have a Bible, John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, and in my margin says, did not overcome it. That word has the double meaning. The darkness did not overcome the light, and it did not comprehend the light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is John the Baptist, not the Apostle John who wrote this book. Okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Apostle John, that literally Jesus walked the earth when you were there. He knew you. He touched you. He heard you speak. He saw you perform miracles. He heard your teachings. He heard kind of a behind-the-scenes vantage point of your life and your ministry. And Lord, most of all, he actually saw you die on that cross, buried in the ground, and 3 days later rise from the dead. So Lord, we just thank you for his testimony and his witness that we have here today. And Lord, I just ask you to please help me. Please speak through my lips, think through my brain, and Lord, say everything you want to communicate to us here today. Thank you so much. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not going to mention everything that this passage says about God. I just have three observations. What does this passage tell us about God? Number one, God is the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Apostle John, I am completely convinced, picked the phrase "in the beginning" on purpose, because the very Bible itself starts with the phrase "in the beginning." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so in Genesis, we see in really kind of broad brush strokes how God created the world and, you know, the waters and the earth and the plant life and the fish and the birds and the animals. And finally, the pinnacle of his creation was mankind. Okay, Adam and Eve. Whether you believe it's a literal 6 days or not, I'm not here to discuss that or debate that point. The point is that God created the entire world and the universe. And here, the Apostle John basically says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This being, this creator that he's going to start telling us about, was with God. Okay, it says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, meaning when time began, he was there. Okay, before time began, he was already there. In the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. It's kind of hard to wrap your hands and arms and mind around this concept, but I just want you to understand that God is the creator of all. He's the creator of the entire universe in which we live. It says here that through him, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So again, call me a simpleton. I find it far easier to believe in a creator, someone who is all-wise, all-powerful, that they actually, with great care and great wisdom and great understanding, created the universe in which we live. I find that far easier to believe than to think that all of this just happened out of some indiscriminate explosion or something. Out of nothing, right, something out of nothing. That, I just don't have faith for that. I just find that too hard to believe. As far as my experience on planet Earth, that doesn't make sense to me. It makes far more sense to say God created everything and understand it that way. My brother and Lorraine and my wife and I, the other day, we went to the peak of... in Wilmington there, Whiteface Mountain. And we were up on the peak, almost 5,000 feet high, and just looking out over the, maybe hundreds of miles. I don't know how far we could see. We could see lakes. We could see valleys. We could see, we could see roads that some people thought were streams. I'm like, no, Jude, that's the road. That's not a river. See that truck, Jude? That's not a big fish. when we were standing there, and, it's a beautiful time of year, autumn, and the leaves are changing. And to me, to look at that incredible expanse of creation, to me, in my heart, I'm always like, wow, how awesome is the creator? How awesome is the one who created all this? And I believe God, on purpose, in some ways, kind of shows off a little bit so that we would be in awe of the creator. No doubt about it. Like, I have zero artistic bones in my body. I am so unartistic. It is not fun. My wife's pretty art. She's really artistic. I can paint, but like the walls. I can cut in. I am so unartistic. But I will say this. I have grown to really appreciate beauty and art and all of this. And I always I'm like, wow, God, you're amazing. You are incredible. I mean, think about it. October 1st, God could have said, all right, on October 1st, it's fall, time to change seasons. Let's have all these green leaves fall to the ground and decay and be fertilizer for next spring. Right? He could have done that. But instead, he did it with so much more pizzazz. I mean, he did it with wow, all these colors. And he just to show off, just so that we would be in awe, not of the creation, but of the creator. Right? Yeah. Amen. It's really amazing. Yeah. God is the creator of all things. And it's, matter of fact, C.S. Lewis thought that the idea that we as human beings actually could appreciate beauty, he thought that was one of the main ways to prove the existence of God. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. There's no naturalistic reason for it.
There's none. There's no practical reason to appreciate beauty. There's no function of it. There's no, practicality to it other than just we're enjoyment, and we have the ability to enjoy and experience pleasure. And that points to our great God and a creator. So, number one, the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3, all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. So this is talking about the Creator, and everything that's ever been made was made through Him. The second thing this passage tells us about God is it says that God is light. Look at it says, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then it goes on, and John the Baptist says this, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. God is light. and that all through him might believe. Now, he was not. John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay? And so the scriptures here in the first chapter of John's gospel, we see the whole idea that God is a God of light. Okay? In the scriptures, light is synonymous with life. Okay? And there's also this opposite element, and that is darkness. Darkness is synonymous with sin and death and confusion and destruction. God is light. Okay? We're going to talk more about God of light in a second, but I'm going to leave it right there for a second. We'll get back to God is light. The last one, and I know you know this, and this is very obvious, but it should never, ever, ever stop and become ho-hum to us. And that is in verse 14. It says, and the Word, remember the Word is the Creator. He was with God. He was God. Everything that was made through the Word. Okay, the Word, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Bottom line is the Christmas story is true. Okay, God became a human being. God became, he stepped into time and space and became a baby. That is absolutely incredible. Now, it's interesting because in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, it's definitely, you can see in there that Jesus is more than just a man, that he is God. But it's a lot more like kind of a progressive understanding, you know. And it's not nearly as clear as John. Like in you know, John starts out, he says, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm talking about the Creator of the universe. And then verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he just hits it right on, right up front, that Jesus is God among us. Jesus is God becoming a human being. Matter of fact, back to C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, he was an atheist for quite a time in his life. And he was a real intellectual, and he was a real scholar, and he had some friends that were Christians. And so as he's like hanging out with these Christians, and he's saying, okay, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is a God. I'm open to that possibility. I think maybe there is. Not exactly sure. But he was still extremely frustrated because he said, okay, even if there is a God, it's kind of like he is the playwright and we are like characters in the play. It's like, how can a character, a created, you know, a product of the author's imagination, he can never actually know the creator. And so he was kind of frustrated by that. Until it dawned on him, what if the writer of this script actually wrote himself into the story. And then the characters in the story could actually know the author of the story. Right? Isn't that cool? That's exactly what he came to understand. That's what the incarnation is, that God became a human being. It's mind-blowing. It should never get old. I don't understand all of it, but you know what? I don't understand how my computer works either, but I know how to, you know, I benefit from my computer. Meaning I don't have to understand everything. I need to believe it, though. And there's a lot of evidence here why we can believe Jesus truly is God among us. Okay, there's lots and lots and lots of reasons that we can be persuaded of that. So just real simply, though, from this passage, we see that God is creator of all. God is light, and God has actually become a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. So next question, what does this tell us about mankind or about me? Okay, well, first thing is that we are now part of this epic light versus dark struggle. We are part of this. Like, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, okay, darkness, the powers of darkness. You know, I'm start thinking of like a Lord of the Rings kind of movie. You know, you start thinking about some cave and some core of a mountain where there's molten lava like bubbling up, and it's casting these little shadows on the ceiling, and there's some like goblin or some ugly creature and laughing in some hideous way. You know, that's like, okay, that's darkness. And actually, the struggle of light and dark is a lot closer to home than that. Let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, really familiar scripture, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Okay, so first of all, God sent his Son because he loved us. That's what motivated him to send his Son, Jesus. Jesus came to give us eternal life. He came not so that we would perish, but so that we would have eternal life. Remember John 1:4. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Okay, God is the God of life. He's the God of light, and he's come to bring life and eternal life. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That was his mission. But let me read on here. It says, "He who believes in him," believes in the light, believes in the Son, believes in Christ, "is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Notice it doesn't say some men love darkness. It says men, mankind. Every human being is a creature of darkness, and we love darkness. That's just the way we are apart from the grace of God. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Listen, I didn't become a Christian because I wanted to love God. I didn't become a Christian because I wanted to be a better person. I became a Christian because I couldn't get away from God. He was bothering me. He was making me feel really bad the way I was living. I knew I was completely lost. I was like, I just was in dark. I just was like, get away from me. Leave me alone. But I discovered that actually God loved me. And so the whole reason he's trying to draw me into the light, remember, he's light. He's trying to draw me into the light is because that's where I would have, you know, life and forgiveness and eternal life. But I was running away from that. And I believe most human beings do run away. As a matter of fact, all human beings run away from God because God is light. And it says here that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Again, we are in this epic battle between light and darkness. And it's not happening in some cave or some haunted house or something like that. It's happening among us and within us all the time. This battle, this struggle of light versus darkness. Look what it says in John, his letter, 1 John. I love this. This is so clear. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him." Same apostle John. "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Okay, same idea we read a few minutes ago. "If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if I say I have a relationship with God, yet I'm continuing to live completely in the dark, you know, just my own way and just keep sinning and just keep that, that's my lifestyle, I'm lying, okay? If we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is amazing. I've talked to some people, and they always are like, yeah, I know there's all kinds of sin in my life. I'm probably sinning all the time, and I don't even realize it. And they just kind of have this, they're just so aware of their own sin and their own failure. Listen, all we have to do is walk in the light. And it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So we can be cleansed of sin that we're not even aware of as we just walk in the light. That's what God expects. Just walk in the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness. We just got to bring our dirty laundry to him, just as ugly as it is, as putrid as it is, as much as it stinks, as much as this, just bring it to him. And then he says he cleanses us. I mean, this is the good news. The bad news is, yeah, we're all like, you know, we love darkness. All men do. But once we've kind of allow God to draw us out, and we start to like taste and see that the Lord is good, after a while, you don't want to live in darkness. You don't want to live in that, because there's death there, there's condemnation, there's judgment. And again, no Christian I know has arrived, but a believer, they are in God's light. Everything is out, okay? All their sins are forgiven. It's not because now they're such great and awesome people. It's because God is light, and in him is no darkness, and he offers all of this as a gift. It's amazing good news. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. The issue is not, you know, Christianity is not like good people trying to be better people. It's not even bad people trying to be good people. It's a matter of light and darkness. Christ is the light of the world. He's come to us. He's come to us in our darkness, in our messed up, broken condition and messed up world. And he says, here I am. Stop running away from me. That's basically what the invitation is. Stop running away from me. That's what Christianity is we just stop the facade. We stop the lies. We stop the self-deception. We're like, okay already. God, you're real. My life's a wreck because I've made it that way. Help! Seriously, you want to get as, you know, as deep as it gets? That's what being a Christian is. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And once, I mean, I just remember the first couple times. I remember when I was a young believer, and I still had, you know, I had these struggles that I was having, and I don't know where I was at. I was at some conference, and they talked about the power of confessing your sins one to another. Now, we can go directly to God through Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. I don't need to go to a human mediator. That said, there can be this really powerful aspect of discipleship when we confess our faults to another human being, a trusted, you know, Christian brother or sister. And so I did this once at this conference, and I tell you, it was like, it was really hard, by the way. It was really embarrassing. I mean, I had all kinds of ugly stuff. But when I did it, it was so liberating. It was so like, wow. It's so awesome to have all this stuff off my shoulders, really knowing that it was dealt with at Calvary's cross. So liberating. So, and truth be told, this is a regular practice of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is not just a one-time event, walking in the light. Walking in the light doesn't mean we never mess up. Walking in the light means we walk circumspectly before God and we bring our mess to Him quickly. Basically, being a mature Christian means we run to Him that much quicker. You know, when I first became a Christian, when I got saved, I would wallow for days in guilt and condemnation whenever I would mess up real bad. And now I just run to Him a lot quicker. Doesn't mean that I never mess up. Don't ask my wife, by the way, because she won't tell you any bad stuff about me. She won't tell you any of my mess ups. okay. So we're in this epic light and dark battle, okay? And God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Last question. I do want to end with this, and that is, okay, Mike, in light of this Gospel of John chapter 1, how should we respond? Well, it shows right here, verse 10, chapter 1. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Okay? So, God comes, becomes a man in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. He comes to His own. They didn't recognize Him. He came to them, and they did not receive Him. They did not receive His message. They did not receive His person. They rejected Him. Okay, says verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there's only two responses to Jesus Christ. There's not three, four, five, or six. You know, there's either rejecting Him and saying, no, I know You're God. I know You're the light come in the world. But no, He came to His own and His own received Him not. Or we can embrace Him. Or we can say, oh God, please have Your way in my life. Thank You for coming to planet Earth. Thank You for living a perfect life. Christ was fully man. Fully God and fully man. He was tempted, the Bible says, in every way that we are. Okay? So He was tempted to sin. He was tempted to do wrong. He was frail in a lot of ways. He got tired. He got hungry. He actually could die on a cross. Okay? So He was full of human frailty, yet He never, ever sinned. So that's why John the Apostle can say, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Old Testament Lamb always had to be perfectly healthy, without blemish, without any spots. Jesus is the only human being, fully God, but fully man, the only person who never, ever sinned. And so when He died on that cross, He died not for anything He had ever done wrong, because He did nothing wrong. He died in our place. He died so that you and I, who were dead in trespasses and sin, could be made alive. This is the good news. This is the amazing news. It's not about trying to be a good person. It's not about, you know, helping little old ladies across the street. I'm all for that. Or, you know, going to church. It's not about that. It's about what have we done with the Son of God. He came to His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, He gave the right, the privilege, the authority to become children of God. This is what John said about a man must be born again. We're all born the first time of human parents. But when we're born the first time, we're born in darkness. You know, we're born corrupt. It says in, you know, King David said, in sin my mother conceived me. You know, so from mankind is messed up. It's fall. We live in a fallen world. We're all part of it. That's why we need this second birth. That's why we need the new birth, the spiritual birth. And John said, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see. You're just blind. We're in the darkness. We must be born again to then have eyes to see, ears to hear. God is real to us. Again, there's no Christian that's arrived. No Christian is perfect. Okay, this is not about just being, you know, moral. It's about life and death. John said this at the end of his letter. He said, he who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God, he who is not received by simple faith and simple trust, the Son of God, has not life. Matter of fact, John wrote this whole gospel, all 21 chapters. He sums up why he wrote this for us. In John chapter 1, I'm going to end with this, verse 30. Says, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So I want to challenge and encourage and beg and plead and please respond to the Son. Respond to the Son of God. He loves you today. He really does. He came to this messed up planet Earth not to condemn us, not to destroy us, but to save us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be adopted into his family and born of his Spirit and be part of his family. Scripture says, if any man's in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? So, Lord, we just thank you today, God, that your light and in you is no darkness at all. And, Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for living a perfect life, modeling for us, in a sense, how to live, really, not just as sons of God, but as true human beings, the way you originally designed us to be. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room, you would help all of us to just have genuine faith, genuinely believe this good news, and we would have life in your name. Thank you and praise you and honor you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.